Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Scott.
Hello, Don. How are you tonight?
Yeah, Melissa's here.
Hey.
She hasn't said anything, but hello, Melissa.
Hello, guys.
Hi, Mel. How you doing?
I'm good, Scott. How are you?
I'm trying to stay cool.
Right?
Yeah, it's a hot one, isn't it?
Yeah, I was watching part of the 6 o'clock news, and they said it was 90 and feels like 95, and it's only supposed to be down like 73 or 75 for low tonight. It'd be just nice and steamy in the morning and all along. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Just if you guys are working third shift, drink plenty of water tonight. Stay hydrated. Best thing I can tell you, stay hydrated.
And don't forget to wear your mask.
Yes, please do.
Yeah. Don't forget to wear your mask.
Hard enough to breathe in an assembly plant, let alone wear a mask.
I can only imagine what it'd be like at the shift tonight.
God, I don't know what you and your bride do to your phones, but whatever you do, stop doing it. Get by the beep or something. Do something. Are you there?
That ain't good.
Oh, there he is. All right.
That turned up more. I don't know. See that? I don't know.
Well, say something, Scott. It's your show. Hello. Talk, boy. Talk. 989, I'm going to put you on.
Greetings to all you rabble-rosers.
Greetings.
Hey, there you go. It's Paul. How you doing, Paul?
Oh, I'm having a great time. I'm just glad my years of working second shift are over in this ridiculous heat.
Yep. Well, third shift, they'll have to deal with it for, I'd say only like 3 or 4 hours, but with the temperature not really dropping down out of the mid-70s overnight, it'll be a steamy one all night long for third shift.
Yeah, it will.
And then that does. So, Don remembers down there in KSC1, it's just like a dead spot for air down there anyway.
Yeah.
You know, jeez.
It is. Let me get 419 on also. Anybody else like to get on real quick? Push 1 on your keypad. Go ahead, guys.
Go ahead, Melissa. You going to say something?
No. I had it on mute.
I'm sorry.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Peggy.
Hi, Peggy.
Hi,
Adrian. I think you're on.
Yeah, how's everybody been doing these days? It's been hot down here in Ohio. I hope the people at work are trying to keep themselves cool. I know it's very hot when you're working in the hot plant.
Hello. Just wanted to say hi.
Hi, Adrian.
Get a break when you can.
Scott, are you okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's a big break there. I didn't know if you're still on the line or not. Okay, Adrian, how you doing?
I'm hanging in here.
It's
doing wonderful.
You must not be outside.
Oh, no. I was outside all of 5 minutes. Yes, no, this is not my kind of weather out there. A little too warm for me.
Yeah, I guess if you like Thailand, this would probably be perfect for you, right?
Yeah, probably. I like the weather to be 70, 75. I'm good with that.
There you go.
I can relate. Yeah.
perfect weather.
Yeah, I wish all of you that have to work, please do stay hydrated. Get you some Powerade or some Gatorade and some water so that you can keep your electrolytes good.
Yep, yep. Or get some Gatorade if you're working third shift tonight or your second. Get some Gatorade or Powerade. I mean, if you have to, it don't taste the best, but Pedialyte, so you get some electrolytes into your system.
Yeah.
By all means. But you can drink too much water, and that hurts you too.
That's correct. Not only that, but you know, you the golden showers, you know, you got to let the flow, you got to get it out.
That's right.
Don't hold that in either.
No.
That's why they provide trash cans.
Well, I'm going to say this, you know, since you drink a lot of water, if you need to use the restroom, if they don't want anybody to use the restroom, just stop the line and walk off the line and do your thing. Do what you need to do. You know, don't try to hold it in. It's not going to work very well.
Absolutely.
Especially older workers that have a weak bladder, they cannot hold it in good like they once used to be.
Right. Before we get going too far into the show, I'm going to remind you now, and then I'll remind you again later. We will be doing a hard stop at 8:30 tonight. The show stops at 8:30 tonight, so get that out there.
That's fine.
Yeah. So, anybody got any new that's been going on this last week that we're sharing? Don, I got a question real quick. Are we not on iTunes?
Yeah.
Oh, we have so I just had somebody send me a message. They said, please make this available on iTunes.
Well, one time, I don't know if the UAW show is or not, but we'll see. I'll find out. Go ahead.
Okay. So you want to download that for iTunes. I'll tell them they're checking on it. And I'll give them a thank you. So, there you go. Anything new? I mean, this last week I've been kind of busy in, out, and doing some other things. And I know some big news that we could talk about was, you know, Ford's going to roll out the Bronco again. They're going to roll out a base model for this year. And then next year they're going to put out the, I guess it's like the Sasquatch version. It's gonna have a V8 and a four-wheel drive, and it's gonna have a four on the floor. It's gonna be a stick again, like it used to be. That sounds like some fun, don't it?
It does.
You bet it does. Let me get 734 euros, so on.
Hi, everybody.
Well, hello. How are you?
Hello, Maggie.
Hello.
Hi,
how you doing?
Oh, nothing. My AC's down, and I took the day off of work, so.
That's fun.
I took the good and the bad. I got some good looking going on. I'm off work, so my AC's down. So, yeah.
It's hot where you're at.
Oh, yeah. Yep, up here by Detroit.
Yeah, you guys pushing about 100 with a heat index right now, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be hot tonight, like you said, too. Hey, that Bronco, they're going to make that at the Wayne Assembly right down the road from me. But that Bronco Sport is going to be made in Hermosillo, Mexico, the Sport.
What?
Yep.
No,
so they're only making one model up here in...
Right.
Yep.
So is that going to be like the base
be
model?
Made in Mexico.
So which one is the... Which one's the
Go
Sport
ahead.
Then?
The Sport, I want to say usually a Sport is an upgrade, isn't it?
Wow.
Isn't it usually a Sport an upgrade?
I thought.
I don't know. I thought so too. Yeah, that's going to be made in Mexico. But the regular model is going to be, yeah, made in Wayne, Michigan, right down
right.
the road. Uh-huh. Yeah, but it's kind of funny because they said, you know, Ford's is doing that thing again where they want to just make SUVs and trucks. You know, what is this, the third time in a row that they've done this?
Yeah.
So it's kind of crazy because one of those models is going to be made in Mexico. And then they came out with, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Ford. I think it's called EcoSport.
Yeah, the engine.
Like, well, it's
right?
it's a car. It's a car.
Oh, it's a
smaller
car.
Version of the Escape. Like, it kind of looks like the Escape, but a smaller version. Yeah, that's made in Europe, and they import it here. So my thought is, well, if you guys are in the business of making SUVs and getting away from sedans, well, you got two models that are being made out of the United States.
Oh, I'm here. I'm looking at the Free Press. I went back to check this real quick. It said the small Bronco Sport, which Ford will build in its, would you say, Hermosillo assembly plant in Mexico, will be in showrooms later this year. Yep. But the two-door and the four-door Broncos will be assembled in Michigan assembly.
Yeah.
The Broncos will go out on sale in the spring of 2021. So they're going to be doing some tooling and stuff and run some. So the Sport's going to be like the entry level on this case, and then
okay.
the bigger, better ones. I thought I caught an article where they called one of them a Sasquatch or whatever. I think that was the four door with the doors off, with the oversized tires, had the V8, had the four on the floor. I didn't see if they still had the locking hubs or not, though.
Well, that's kind of crazy they call it a Sport, because usually a Sport's an upgrade on any model.
You would think.
Huh. Yeah. Well, that's good news, though, if it's going to be, I guess, you know, but it still should be made here. But
right.
Yeah, I kind of find that interesting, but okay. That's, yeah.
And I'm looking at the picture right now at the upgraded one with the bigger tires and stuff. And I'm looking, I just zoomed in on a picture, made it really big. And it does look like you're going to have locking hubs. You're going to have to get out and lock your hubs like you used to in the old Fords. So
huh.
I guess I'll bring nostalgia back with you.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get stuck and you got to go out and get it. In the mud or whatever else you're in there and go down there and for those that remember the, you know, Ford for the longest time, you had locking hubs. You had to get out of the vehicle and lock your hubs in.
Well,
put it neutral.
Were you a little disappointed on how the model looked?
Yeah, I think they could have, okay. I think they would have done more justice to stick with more of a retro styling. Instead
uh-huh.
of doing the retro
Jeep,
up to date
Jeep look
version, yeah,
it looks like a
yeah.
Jeep. I think they should
kinda.
Have. Yeah, me too. But
I did post a picture of that on Workers' Workplaces Union where they showed the Bronco sitting next to a Jeep. I was like, well, I don't know if I would have. You know, fast forward, I don't know if I would have put that photo out or not, because it kind of does look like a Jeep from the front.
Yeah. Yeah, and that new Escape model looks kind of like the Porsche, that small version of the Porsche SUV.
Yeah.
If you look at that new, did you notice that?
The Cayenne, yes. From the front on, it kind of looked like the Cayenne almost. On the one that had the whole hard top and everything on it. Yeah, it did. I'm hearing rumor, and this would probably perk up Don's ears. We used to have a thing we used to build at General Motors called the CK5 Blazer.
Oh, yeah.
And there is now talk, and I'm going to say this cautiously, optimistically, there is talk that they have got a prototype, and they are going to try to bring back a CK Blazer. Because of the Bronco and the Jeep bringing out the 392 Hemi Jeep Wrangler back again. We'll wait and see if that happens, because I think when Don hired in, he worked on the Blazer line for a while, didn't you, Don?
Suburban Blazer line, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they showed it was full size because somebody showed a meme of the V8 going back in the Wrangler, and then they showed the Bronco coming back out, and then they showed the picture of the Blazer. He says, "Oh, not me. I come back as a car." I think people are taking notice about the Blazer size. I think
right.
We might see a full size. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, just remember that Blazer, that car like Blazer, is all made in Mexico. That's when the Lordstown went into uproar, and after they stopped building the Chevy Cruze there, and those workers wanted that Blazer there in Lordstown, but yeah, and GM was hell bent on building that Blazer down in Mexico.
Right. Yep. Yep.
So when you look at it, all big three, they're building a smaller vehicle down in Mexico, while up in the U.S., they're building a bigger vehicle in the U.S. So, it all had completed shifted this way, like the small vehicle being built down in Mexico and the larger vehicle being built in the U.S.
Well, it's because they're going for profit, that's why.
Yeah. Also, so that way they don't have to pay the workers anything. They rather use cheap labor down there in Mexico so they don't have to pay the higher wages for the workers.
There's a lot of truth to that, too. I agree.
Yes,
there
is. And benefits, too.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like that everywhere you go. I have a couple of people. I know several people that work, at the retail store, like at the entertainment resort, like such as Cedar Point and Kalahari. And they only make anywhere between $9.50 to, they'll top out at $12 an hour. And they don't hardly get any kind of benefit at all. And the Cedar Point employees, if they come out of town, they got to pay the rent to stay in their dorm. So half their check is already gone. And in actuality, their job is to, they actually work in the sweat. Type of job where they work up to 60 hours a week and they get paid very cheaply And, you know, like, see, the fair, they can get away with it because they, you know, they're seasonal worker, which means, you know, they can pay them as low as possible. And no benefits,
right.
You know, and no benefits if they don't get to them. And that's why a lot of people, there's several people that know that used to work at Cedar Point, and they moved down to Florida. They either work at Universal and Disney World, and they get treated better, and they get paid better down there, too. And plus, you know, there's a chance to get full-time. Well, of course, those parks down there are open all year round. So, you know, they get, you know, those workers get paid better and they get treated better than working at a seasonal amusement park.
Wow.
Yeah,
well,
that's right. So, you know, a lot of these, matter of fact, I got a roommate living with me. He works at Kroger, and he's only working part-time. And, you know, Kroger actually have a union called United Commercial Food Service. He's been there 6 months, and he hardly ever get hours. And he cannot even afford his own place because he gets paid so little and he gets such low hours. Like he works only from 1 day to 4 days a week. Averaging around 6 hours a day.
Right. And there was we're talking about seasonal workers in the retail and stuff. Kroger, Albertsons, Stop and Shop, they're going to withdraw from the UFCW National Pension Fund. They had tentative pacts with union locals called to shift to variable annuity-based retirement plan. That's what they did, Don. That's what they did to the General Motors manager about 5 years ago. Remember, they pulled all them guys out. If you didn't have, if you weren't grandfathered in, they forced all them guys to retire into an annuity, and that's what they're doing with these pensions. The fight.
Right.
Yeah. So let me all. So you're all these.
Saying that their pension's going to be in an annuity, right?
Yeah. So these employers, they're trying to get away with anything they can to pay these workers so little and giving them such low hours, too. And,
right.
You know, and also, you know, he has a car that, you know, that needs repair really bad. And he cannot get any money for you know, together, you know, to be able to pay for the repair. So he is forced to hobble back and forth to and from work, you know, with his broken down vehicle.
Yeah, that's what a lot of these breweries are doing in some of our plants. So it's bad.
Well, that's what I said. It's getting bad. It's getting to be the same way and bad in these auto plants. You know, this is why I tell people to fight back. This is why I always tell them, you know, protect what you have. This is why you need to take over the union. The workers, do they really need to take over the union bad? You know, because we are on the losing end.
Right, right. So, well, that is what that is. But if we have any other callers in the switchboard and you want to join the conversation, please press 1. and our moderator will get you on as soon as he can. A person at the GM Lansing Delta said she tested for the COVID-19. She contacted outside the plant, not inside the plant. Nobody in the plant is supposed to have self-quarantine for 14 days. And the plant staff did a stand-down, basically, so they could discuss with the employees. In the meantime, our governor's chomping at the bit to shut everybody down again because the COVID-19 is not under control again, and they want to keep this from going all over, supposedly. So I don't want to put that out there, but you know, there's been some stuff going on this week, and I don't know if Adrian or Paul or anybody else heard anything else that's going on. I mean, besides Ford and General Motors and Chrysler. Chrysler's having about a million recalls. It's just like 925,000 vehicles. The steering wheel badges. I guess if the airbags deploy, the badge in the center of the steering wheel can fly off and potentially become a projectile. A lot of people didn't hear about this, but Takata airbags, when this whole thing really started going with the airbags, that subsidiary of Takata went bankrupt so that they wouldn't have to probably pay billions and billions in fines, I'd imagine, right, Don?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're getting some phone noise. Please mute the phone if you're not on. A lot of phone noise. Go ahead, Scotty.
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember when Dick Benjamin was alive and he was talking about this, and we had discussion about that subsidiary of Takata Industries did the airbags, and I said it all along. All they have to do is file for bankruptcy, and that would give them protection, and they'd have to pay out limited liability on that. And I don't know who's making the airbags now. I think Takata still is. It's a different arm. I guess we still haven't figured out the airbags yet. I don't know. I'll have to try and find out about that. Who's doing that? But I know that's a big recall. I know that's a million vehicles. That in this particular time, you know what I mean? At this particular stage of 2020, that's a hell of a shot in the arm right now. Well, not really a shot in the arm, more like a kick in the groin, I guess you could say. It's really interesting. Tesla suing Rivian for allegedly stealing the secrets and poaching its employees. There's a big fight going on with Rivian. I guess they're going to move out of Michigan. They're going to move their headquarters out west somewhere. So that could be an interesting thing. So you're going to have, I think, three electric pickup trucks are going to be rolling out next year, I think. I think you're going to have the Rivian. You're going to have the Lordstown Motors truck. And I think the Tesla Cybertruck will be coming out. So Rivian's not going to be out until 2021. But they're going to drop their electric truck and their electric SUV at the same time.
Yeah. Jimmy, you're on, by the way.
Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, Scott. I'm sorry for being on.
How
are
we doing?
Every Michigander fighting the traffic coming back from the UP. What a nightmare.
Ooh.
Did I hear you say Takata is going bankrupt?
Hi, Jimmy.
Hey, kid.
They already did. They did that very quietly.
I know, but what that's going to do in that recall, that's not only going to kick it in the groin, but if I remember right, on recalls like that, that affects your profit sharing. Those costs come out of your profit sharing. Am I not? Am I correct in thinking that, Scott?
I don't think so, because they've all changed their names. They've added those three little letters to the back end of their corporate name now. LLC.
Yeah, I know, but what I mean is those costs come out of what would have been, let's say, are the workers' profit sharing. Those repairs reflect on our profit sharing. If I remember right, that came out of that cost here.
You know, I don't know.
That's a good question. That's a real good question.
I think the old man told me that's what was so bad, why we needed first-time quality, because I'm thinking he explained to us that when they have to do the recall, the company has to eat it, but then they take it out of profit. Well, where does that come from? Profit sharing.
Right. Yeah, because it falls under warranty.
Exactly.
It falls under warranty. Recalls and warranties.
Right, and that's why he bitched, well, why doesn't GM use their own airbag, which is supposedly three times better than the Takata, other than it was, well, I think it was like four times as much more money, though.
Right. Yeah. Whenever you get a recall, you know, nobody wants seeing it. And like you said, when we talked about the old man, the dirty secret for those of us that are in and around this industry was a service bulletin.
Yeah.
So you might have had an issue, and you went into the dealership, and you expressed to them you had a particular problem, and they check, and they said, well, we'll have your car or your truck for a little while, and then they get you back out, and you go to pay the bill, and there's no bill.
Yep.
And you think, oh, what a great thing to do. What the dirty secret in the trade industry is that the service bulletin is a way of publishing a recall or a warranty problem so that it can be dealt with at the dealership, so that it don't get out to the National Highway and Traffic Association and become a full-blown recall. So,
exactly.
You know, I mean, and everybody's done that. Ford does it, Chrysler does it, General Motors does it, Kia, Hyundai, everybody who makes an automobile does this. That's a service bulletin that's letting them know that they have a systemic, to quote the old man, there's a systemic problem, and this is how we're going to fix it. Yeah, so if somebody comes in, you don't charge them. We look good, the company looks good, and they're happy, and we're happy because we didn't get a recall out of it. So there you go.
Exactly. They did get that electric vehicle to Lordstown Motors, but isn't that ironic? Think about that. Who got screwed? Lordstown. Who's getting the new electric vehicle? Lordstown, but it's not GM.
No, it's not.
We got a new second class citizens in the UAW. Wow, is that another tier?
That could be. Interesting.
But no, Scott, I don't trust these Packers anymore at all. They'll lose a quarter to save a nickel. They just proved it again with the airbag people. Think about this, people. They will continue to use second and third class products, parts and stuff, and then blame us, we the workers, or whatever you want to call us, the brothers and sisters of the UAW, because we didn't put that third class part on correctly to last. Shame on them.
Yep. You're right. It's always the workers' fault. Somebody got to take the heat for it. And speaking of the heat, did you hear what happened at Fiat Chrysler this last week?
I didn't.
In the UAW?
No, I didn't.
Oh, that's pretty smart. You've got 27 Toledo-based auto workers listed as plaintiffs, said the UAW, as they buried their concerns about pay and employment status because union officials were getting the kind of swanky perks, travel, fancy meals, mortgage payoff, undercover, you know, during the ongoing federal investigation. So 14 of the people are, 14 of the convictions. So what they had was Monday, they filed in federal court in Toledo, which names a host of people who are also caught up in the corruption probes as defendants. They seek to triple the amount of damages because of the nature of the case. So, like I said, you got Fiat Chrysler workers in Toledo saying that they're the victims of the corruption scandal, and now they're suing FCA and the UAW.
I hope they win that one. If you remember right, that's the place where Norwood Jewel, you know, Deadwood flat out was recorded. When a guy questioned him, Norwood said, "Find out who he is, and I want him fired." Remember that?
Yep.
And then they ran him out of there. Yes. And then one of his brothers showed up at the next meeting, remember, wearing a Kool-Aid uniform. I think I still have that damn picture somewhere. But I don't understand that it's obvious down there where they were doing it, there were seniority workers that got screwed because they didn't want to flip them over back then. If I remember correctly, there was a lot of people that got screwed down there in one of the Toledo plants.
Yeah. I don't understand the Toledo plant. Now, do they still have a standalone agreement, or are they back under the national contract now?
You'd have to ask Brian that, because in my corrupt thinking, I can't remember how many units they had in there, because that's outdated, but it was crazy. But I think they still fall under that stupid standalone. I don't know why I'm thinking that, but I could be wrong there.
I thought for this last contract that they pulled them back onto the national. I'd go with Brian and find out if somebody can find that from the Chrysler.
Don, ring Brian up and bring him on. Can you hear me?
He might be going to get more coffee. I don't know. Let's see if we can get a hold of somebody and find out about that. Either way, the history was on the Toledo plant. The Toledo plant took concessions, and the corporation, it's Jeep at the time, said that they were going to award them more work and secure the history, the future, for quite a while. Local union agreed to go to a standalone agreement like they did at Lake Orion and Lordstown. No, Lordstown was still in the national. Lake Orion had a standalone agreement.
Remember Rebecca? She had some good numbers on that Jeep plant. I wish I could get a hold of her, but yeah, she had. And I never heard of what happened with her appeal either. That was weird.
I think she got really sick. I think she got cancer.
I hope not. I knew her brother. She had bad luck with her brother. I believe he actually did pass. And we should also pray that none of us have to face that creature.
It's a nasty, nasty creature. But I want to say, you have to go back away. If I remember right, wasn't it Jerry Buckmaster? Wasn't that the guy that was one of the people that was fighting the UAW with the standalone agreement? He worked down there.
Believe you are correct. And wasn't he one of the ones that got terminated or not rolled over when they did something down there, like they closed his plant or, you know, shut it down or something and moved all the work to another plant? And I think that's what's going on. It was a lot like the old bullshit with Donnie Douglas. He took the plant out on strike just to get his kids and friends in. Not saying that's what happened here, but it was that type of corruption. And that's why Brian's so right. We do need this special convention. We do need to elect some damn delegates. We do need to change the direction we're going in right now, people. because, I mean, I was up in the UP and I got a UAW in there. He's a thief. Keep an eye on him. What the hell? They think we're all that way?
Well, I'm funny you should bring that up because I did post this article, and I'm sure Adrian probably caught it earlier this week with Corey Gamble talking about the three words of advice for his family and union members thinking of an early job exit. He said, don't do it. He says he's seen what happens when workers exit a job ahead of retirement age without a defined path for the future and the financial resume there to stay solvent, right? So they get hit with major disappointment when the package money runs out, Gamble told the Free Press. Well, I'm thinking to myself, you're supposed to be the president of the UAW, and you're telling people don't do it. What do you know that we don't know? Is something going to happen to our pensions? Are there going to be some special language to people who go out early? What's going on? It sounds like a buyout. And I'm thinking to myself, you're supposed to fight for our pensions. I understand you can't negotiate pensions for the retired, but you can negotiate for the future retirees on that pension language that when it gets changed that next contract, when the people go out after that, they're covered under that new language. That's how it's always been in the past, except for this last time around, huh?
Yeah, you're right. I stopped at Mackinac City coming home. We're going through a drive-thru, and I look, and I'm like, look at that. They're hiring. $14 an hour in benefits and 2 weeks paid vacation to live up there. What the hell are we slaving down here coming in the plant as a tier or a temp? I mean, that's insane. The work difference, the stress, the wear and tear on the body for $2 more an hour, $3 more an hour.
Right.
But I couldn't believe it.
Crazy.
They got benefits, 2 weeks paid vacation. I'm like, oh, even our temps don't get that, I don't believe.
No. No. I agree with you.
We've given all those concessions, and we still haven't retained jobs.
You're right, Brother Paul.
I mean, to me, it doesn't make sense. You either give concessions to keep jobs, you know, if you give concessions. And a lot of people in an international union out to lunch because this whole thing was supposed to be to retain and create jobs. And I mean, what happened with Lordstown is a disgrace. I mean, it should tell people that there's no plant that's safe. It doesn't matter how productive you are, doesn't matter how lean you are, doesn't matter how good your quality is. The company has an agenda, and their real agenda is to destroy every American job they can destroy. They don't want to gain market share. They don't want to fight for market share. They want to give away market share so they can close plants. I mean, when I worked in Pontiac Truck and Bus in the 1990s, they made medium duty trucks, heavy duty trucks, transit buses, S10 Blazers, and S10 pickups, full size pickups. That whole complex is gone. They built that plant in Mexico and took away what was left there.
Yep. Well, hell, look at that. They're one of the biggest complexes we had, you know. Left in Michigan under Dave Yetaw, New York City. He had the number one rated car in the world for quality. The Buick Park Avenue, wasn't it?
Yep.
And LeSabre.
What's that? And the LeSabre?
And the LeSabre.
Yep. And the LeSabre. He even had the Chinese and the Japanese come over and it couldn't. Scratching their heads, and they couldn't figure out how they were doing such quality vehicles. And it's because somebody by the name of David Yetaw said it was because it was the people, it was the line worker.
And they were doing it with a traditional agreement in an old plant.
Right.
The union and management of push team concept is the answer. It's not the answer. It's the downfall of our union and of the corporation.
Yep. Yep. But, you know,
Tony,
the
you
Japanese...
said something there, Paul.
What's
the
that?
Old man said, Tony, you brought something up, and I'm glad you did. The old man said something, and Scott will remember this. When they named Mary Barra head of the General Motors for CEO, he said they did that for one reason, because of the airbag thing, and they go easy on it. And then she made an announcement, and the old man goes, that is the first CEO of any American auto company that I've ever heard say, I really don't want to go after market share, and I don't care about market share. And if you look at her track record, since she's gave up our market share, our numbers as UAW members has really dramatically dropped by, in
yeah.
GM world, probably close to 200,000.
Yeah.
That's what market
right.
share does for you.
Well, Roger Smith had said the same thing back in the 1980s. He didn't care about market share. He cared about gross profit per vehicle. And, you
right.
know, the thing is, we're supposed to be in this whole cooperation game to grow the corporation and to, you know, get better job security. And only better job security is coming Solidarity House. Our union has given up the battle for jobs. Now they're just fighting to get as many appointed jobs as they can. Every joint program they cooperate in means more appointed jobs, and that's where they're going now.
Right. Yep. Seems to be the way it goes. It's sad.
I mean, apparently to them it's a bargain if they, you know, if General Motors closes a plant and they lose a couple thousand workers, but, you know, they get another 100 appointed jobs somewhere.
Right. And they make another vehicle outside the country somewhere.
Yeah.
You know.
They've
China.
Closed
you know,
so many plants, they don't have any way to regain market share now.
They
would have
got no game in their game. Think about it. They don't even go to the other country. We got Lordstown now, people. Look up. Smell the coffee.
But they can't gain market share because they've closed all their excess plants. So the only way they can gain market share is to import something from another country.
Valid point.
I mean, look at Pontiac alone. The city of Pontiac, Pontiac Truck and Bus had three assembly plants. Pontiac Motors had a couple assembly plants, and then there was the Fiero plant in the 1980s, where, you know, it was a converted Fisher body plant, I think. So Pontiac
yep.
lost six assembly plants.
Right. And then we killed Pontiac off in 2009 bankruptcy.
Yeah. Yep.
Pontiac Saturn went bye-bye. 2001 Oldsmobile went goodbye.
Yep.
You know, and for us that have been around for a while, if you remember the mid-90s when we had that stretch in 94 through 96, it was a hard time for a while.
Yeah.
And General Motors killed off 22 models. In 2010,
yeah.
They said they're going to streamline.
Yeah. Now how many models they have left?
Just call them another thing. I mean, everyone remembers the Cadillac Cimarron, which is basically a Cavalier, right?
Yeah.
If I remember right. You know, that hurt Cadillac branding too. But
yeah.
And now we turn around and we see, you know, you can get this vehicle and this flavor. It's like you're repeating yourself all over again what you did in the early 90s.
Yeah.
So there was no reason to kill off the cars. I really don't think there was a reason to kill off the cars.
No, they're still selling. Cars still sell in the U.S. Sedans are still selling. It's just the big three are not building them. They don't want to compete in that segment. what was the catch word that was always thrown at us? Competitive. The corporation wants us to be competitive, but they don't want to be competitive.
Right. Right. You know, they killed off the Impala.
Yeah. The real place you need to be competitive is in the marketplace. That consumer that goes out to buy a car, they don't care if they pay $50 more for a General Motors vehicle if they like the vehicle.
That's true. That's true.
And they have lied through their teeth to us. Labor costs are not that important. They're not that big of a share of the cost of the vehicle. They are
still less than 8%. Less than 8%.
They have willingly surrendered their competitiveness in the marketplace. They don't want to sell anything that they can't sell for $40,000 or $50,000 or $60,000.
Right. Last time I checked, average sale price of any American-made vehicle from the Detroit 3, well, I believe was like $32,500 or something like that.
Yeah.
That was the average price.
Yeah.
Market share. I'm glad you brought up market share because General Motors is getting back in the medium-duty business. They have been for a little over a year now. Remember, the
medium-duty pickups? Or medium-duty truck, like a dump truck.
Yep, like the 4500 and the 5500.
Okay.
They're back in there again. They're Navistar, I believe, is building them, or International.
Yeah.
I mean, it's International is building them for them. They're badging them. They do have an Isuzu. They did bring an Isuzu back. And they're being outfitted either in Charlotte, Michigan,
okay,
which is on the west side of Lansing,
yeah,
or I think there's a place down in Ohio, and that's where they're outfitting those out.
Yeah.
But they got out of a market when they were doing well. They said they weren't doing well in it. I mean, everybody remembers those old Schwann trucks. That was a Chevy, you know. And they got out of that business, and they realized that they lost that portion of that market pie. They lost it completely.
Yeah.
And now they want to get back into it. Well, if you wouldn't have got out of it, you probably would never lost it, right?
Yeah. Well, they thought they were losing money on building semis, and after they sold that business, and you know, from the Pontiac truck and bus, they realized later they were making money. You know, when Obama set up the operation to save the, you know, the U.S. auto industry, they came to the conclusion General Motors couldn't tell with some ridiculous amount, like $500 million, how much cash they had on hand. When you got that poor of an accounting system, you don't know whether you're making money or not.
Right. Right. Well, speaking of which, the 2021 Ford F-150, they leaked the pricing information, and they revealed that the next generation F-150 would start at $30,635 for the base XL model. That's only a $195 increase over last year's model. But opting for one of the more motors, including the 2.7-liter and the 3.5-liter EcoBoost V6 or the 5-liter V8 or the 3.3-liter hybrid V6, adds considerably to the price. So they said what they did was they took one out and tried to figure it out, and they realized Cars Direct went through and obtained some exact figures how expensive the truck could get. So the top-of-the-line 2021 F-150 limited 4x2, I say 4x2, Super Crew model will now start. Are you sitting down, Paul?
No, I'm laying down, so maybe I'm safe.
Oh, good, good, good. It's going to start out at $72,000.
$520. That's over $10,000 more last year. I'm not kidding you. I'm not kidding you. They said that the most expensive one, which would be the 4x4, was going to bring that price up to $75,945. They said, now if you added the Echo, the Power Boost Hybrid powertrain, which will give you another 700-mile range on a single tank of gas, that bumps it up to about $78,445.
They said, yeah, at that price, I'm buying a Corvette.
Well, and they said now they said with limited trim level, and you start adding some other nickel dime things like a bed liner and a tonneau cover, they said it could push this price up over $80,000. They said that's going to be $10,000 more than a GMC Sierra 1500 Denali 4x4 or the Ram.
I just had a friend in Sault Ste. Marie. Bought a 2020 High Country 3/4 ton 4-wheel. He's got everything. He's got the cam and all that shit. But when he showed me his sticker price, I about died. How about $91,400?
Yeah. So I guess what I'm trying to say is, they said that the way it looks, that this F-150 is going to cost more than a Lincoln Navigator. So, big money in those pickup trucks.
Well,
like Paul said,
so.
We don't want to make cars. What's that, Don?
Yeah, I guess there is big money.
But go back to what the very principle was of the Model T. Everybody that worked there could afford one. I work here. I work at that plant. I can't afford one. I don't drive a pickup truck. I don't want that payment. So, I know it's crazy. It is crazy. Agreed. That's all I know.
Yeah. It used to be.
We've been dealing that with, look at our brothers and sisters here and what the hell happened to them. They can't afford what they built, in my humble opinion.
No.
I can't. You know what? If I wanted to nickel and dime myself on a car payment, but by the time you fill that baby up, and I don't care what gas, you know what? Gas prices will go back up. This is just a sweet honeymoon period. They will go back up, and I don't care. That battery situation, that's not exactly foolproof yet. They're still working that all out.
Right.
I mean, you're not going to haul nothing with no battery. I'm sorry. I mean, you're going to haul something, but it ain't going to be for very long unless you got a hybrid.
Right.
So what's the markup
on that? Because you're going to, you know, if you pull something, let's say you're pulling a small camper behind your SUV or your 1500 pickup truck, and it's got a battery in it, and it's let's say it's a 20-foot travel trailer that you hook right onto to your Reese hitch, you know, nothing fancy. Half an hour to go.
And then where's your charge up station? Where are your charge up stations gonna be? You're gonna be searching all around looking for a charging station.
And herein lies the problem, because if not, you're gonna have to buy. I'm sure you're gonna have to buy an optional piece of equipment that's gonna hook into a 110 receptacle, so you can charge your vehicle, and it's gonna take a little bit longer because it's not a charging station. So if you go back to the 90s. And we remember when General Motors could have dominated the whole automotive industry because they had a vehicle called the EV1. You know, they say, oh, we're working on an electric vehicle. You know, why? You already had one. Everybody wanted it. And you could only lease it. If you remember right, California, when the EV1 rolled out, California put up all these charging stations. The state paid for that.
And man, did they get a bath when they killed off the electric vehicles, didn't they? So that was like $3 billion, I think, the state of California went in debt for over that whole deal. And they said, never again. So here we go with electric cars again, and let's see who's going to jump out there and take the taxpayers' money and put charging stations all over for people, right?
Right. Who is going to do that? Who is going to do that?
I don't know. I know Tesla.
Me either.
Yeah.
Well, Tesla's been recruiting a lot of Ford people, like engineers. They've been trying to recruit. I would assume they might be doing this at the other GM and Chrysler too, but they're really headhunting other automobile companies, engineers, supervisors, executives.
Sure.
They are. You're doing that. I know a couple people that left. I had a supervisor that left.
Yeah, they've been doing that for years in the automotive industry. Lee Iacocca worked for Ford. Sure, what?
When you go there, according to what he said, the rumor has it that you have to sign a disclosure that you're going to work with them for a certain amount of time. And they're going to hold you to that time. Because he got out to California and didn't love it and wanted to come back to Ford. And they said, oh, no, you're not. You signed this disclosure. You're staying. Yep.
Oh, kind of like a non-competitive clause, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, they probably pay them a bonus to go there.
Sure.
Yeah, I would have.
And they want to get their money's worth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's smart on their part.
Well, the guy that started Tesla, he's just heads and shoulders above the management of General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is he weird? He's probably a crazy genius.
Well, so is Henry Ford.
Ford
was a nutcase.
Yeah, if you ever hear him talk, like on a podcast, the stuff that he's talking about, it's way beyond what most realm of people will ever think of. Like, sometimes you're freaking me out. I mean, he'll be talking about stuff like artificial intelligence and robots taking, taking the world over and stuff. But if you think about it, he's got a good point.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just that far ahead. He's a genius, but he's weird.
He's another Howard Hughes. That's
mm-hmm.
what he is. He's another Howard Hughes.
Exactly.
And Howard Hughes was, in Paul's words, heads and shoulders above everybody else at that time, what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, Henry Ford. Some people refer to them as, what's the word I'm looking for? Eccentric. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
A nice word for saying you're crazy. Well, they might have been crazy by what we deal with, but mentally they were geniuses, and they knew how to apply this thing to get where they were going. We've seen Howard Hughes was eccentric, all right. But he was brilliant as a businessman.
Well,
yeah,
they're
visionaries.
Well, yeah.
And when they get the money behind them to fund it, that's a dangerous, I don't want to say dangerous in a negative way, but you know what I mean. That's a real reckoning. That's somebody to reckon with.
He's not afraid to take risks. You know, the reason, but what it really boils down to, the management of General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler don't have confidence. They don't believe they can really compete in the car market. That's why they're giving up all these, besides their absolute greed, but they're they're not thinking about the fact that all these young people that buy small cars are if they own a Toyota, a Honda, when it comes time to buy a truck or SUV, that's what they're going to buy. They're not going to buy General Motors. They're killing the company off slowly.
It goes back to at the first part of the show, we were talking about cars, we were talking about a few models that Ford makes that are being, one of the Bronco models is being made at Hermosillo, and then they got an EcoSport they sell here that's imported from Europe. As one just drove by me down my street, we're talking about this EcoSport. So I was on my Facebook page for work, and I always like to, you know, we're getting a lot of new employees, so I just like to make people aware what we're making sometimes, you know. So one of the, you know, I put that on there on that page that the EcoSport is imported from Europe, made there.
Yeah.
And someone said, yeah, you know, and this is somebody with some time. Yeah, my daughter just bought one because she couldn't afford anything else.
Right.
Hmm.
They're not gonna. These young people are not gonna buy a $90,000 pickup truck. You know,
they got college to pay off.
Neither our union leadership nor management have any idea what they're doing. It's like the blind lead. Like Jesus said, where the blind lead the blind, they both fall in the ditch. You know, the kind of union leadership and management we have is dangerous to the auto worker. They're incompetent.
Absolutely. Because
and we were told in the 90s, in essence, and this is more or less the same crap workers are being told now, you know, if you just do what management wants, everything will be okay. I mean, think of all the plants. I mean, I'm somebody who worked in 5 different plants. I met people who worked in as many as 8 plants, and they were telling the same lie everywhere. You know, you'd give concessions to make the company more, quote, competitive, and they'd take the savings and invest them in other countries.
Correct. You know, Tucker, you talked about visionaries in financing. You know, when they realized that the Tucker torpedo was going to be not only a competitor, but it was going to put some of these guys out of business, they shut him down, didn't they?
Yeah.
You know, if you remember the Tucker torpedo, you know,
how about
it
the
would have
DeLorean?
Been.
They really put the screws to DeLorean.
Yeah. All it took was a phone call to do that, wasn't it?
Yeah,
you look for this red Cadillac out by itself in the middle of the parking lot. It'll have a couple kilos of cocaine in there. So who's calling? Oh, it doesn't matter who's calling. Just go check the Cadillac. You know, and when you think about cars, General Motors here in about a month and a half now will be launching 2021 vehicles in September, right?
Yeah.
So that gives General Motors between this September and 2025, so basically 4 model years, 4 more years from now, General Motors is going to have, what'd they say, 23 electric vehicles out by that point?
And it's like, so what? People in the Midwest don't want them, and that's where their biggest market is. They've closed all their plants on the East and West Coast. They used to have a assembly plant in New Jersey for trucks. You know, they used to build vans in Van Nuys, California,
and they used to build vans in Baltimore too, right? The Astro van, wasn't that in Baltimore?
Yeah. Yeah, that's another thing. They don't want to build vans. They don't want to build anything. The union gives them concessions, and then management flips us the bird and says we have the right to do whatever we want, you know? So why are we kissing the rear end?
I don't know. Good question. I told people that
they
just go to work.
They're paying for the pork chop, Paul. They're paying for the pork chop.
They what?
There you go. The pain is the pork chop.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I told somebody if General Motors wanted to really shake up the industry a little bit, all they had to do was bring back an updated version of the Astro van. Boy, wouldn't that have sent everybody, Chrysler wouldn't know what to do. Ford doesn't make a mini.
They have no place to build it. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Look at all the assembly plants they've closed. They built trucks in St. Louis. They built them in Janesville.
Why do you think they closed Lordstown when they didn't got rid of Lordstown? Because they knew they needed a plant for this electric truck. Well, we'll get rid of that. We'll close it down. We'll get this Lordstown Motors going. Like I said, it'll be a lower tier, a lower grade, but it will be a deuce-paying thing, and there will be a point of jobs at Solidarity House with double pensions funding the son of a bitch. That's the way they work. And until we have a special convention and get people down there that can look in the mirror and said, I did the right thing, and I will make it better for the people of tomorrow, we're going to continue to have this shit. And you guys all know it, and I don't know what to do to correct it, but it's crazy.
Well, that's why we need federal intervention in our union, too. I believe.
Well, what are the feds doing? I mean, what are they doing at this point? Does anybody know?
Well, according to the FBI, they're taking our union dollars. They're eating a lot of pork chops. They're smoking real expensive cigars. And, hell, they're getting shotguns. You name it, hell. I mean, hell, Christmas cards, Paul? Why am I, or Scott? Isn't that what Verdell got? She got off early for making Christmas cards. I mean, come on. Look at these sentences these people are getting. You can steal $400,000 and you get 18 months in prison. And do they get to keep the money? Because it ain't showing coming back to us as the UAW members like it's supposed to.
Plus, we've paid for it three times. We've paid for it. We've gotten stolen from. Then our tax dollars get used to pay for an investigation. And what's the other way? There's another way. I calculated in my
head. The old man would have loved you because he would have explained roll up to you. And listening to you talk, Scott, she would have caught on roll up real quick.
Yep.
But I'm, here, and then you got the federal government going in having meetings with a UAW union, they know, has corruption in it, still to this day. And they do.
Nope.
And nothing. We're thinking about appointing, or let me take appointing up. We might just have to get a third party in here to see if we can't get these people under control. Is that
Amen,
the way
sister.
I'm understanding it? Because what's a third party going to do? What's a third party going to do?
They got more potential to do something when we do, because having run against political machines for 20 years, it's hard to beat a political machine that has an army of bodies paid for by management campaigning against you.
Right.
And most people just, you know, what I've noticed, a lot of good people try to make a difference. They'll run once or twice. They can't beat them and they give up. Or they beat them and then they join them.
Yeah.
Because you get in there and you're the sole one trying to fight for what's right. And you're fighting this army. And they're working against you. It undermines your health. It undermines your marriage. And they just give up.
Yep. It's sad. It is.
We can't beat a union that's propped up by management's money.
And you're so spot on with that, Paul, because how many times can we say we got somebody from our caucus in, got them elected, 2 weeks later they throw us back our coat, they're sitting on the other side of the trough, 8 months later they're driving a new car. You know, bragging they're getting 12 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Hey.
Yeah, that starts leaving a bad taste in my mouth.
Well, when I was at Pontiac Truck and Bus, we got a shop committeeman elected against Donnie's caucus, Donnie Douglas's caucus, and he turned around and joined him a few weeks later because he couldn't get anything done. He couldn't get anything done on his own, so he joined him.
I know the other way I was going to say that we're getting screwed. We got stolen from, we got screwed. Then we're paying for the investigation, your tax dollars, we got screwed. And then we're paying for the criminal's attorney. Now, this is all we know. But how long is that going to keep going on?
Good idea. Good question.
Well, like I said, if you read that legal thing on Norwood, I believe it's, isn't it, January 1st, 2021, he is supposed to pay back restitution for his legal fees, but that hasn't shown up yet. And if I remember, that figure is over $200,000 alone just for that one. You got to remember, we got, 14 other law bills, actually 15, because Norwood, didn't he fire one attorney and get another attorney? Because, they ain't paying for Grimes, or not Grimes, Manley. You know, you don't like nobody.
But what corp? Let's just say the UAW is run this like a corporation at this point, because that's basically what they're doing. What corporation do you know that's going to pay for a corrupt employee attorney bill? Let's just say. Does anybody know of one? Not me. Maybe the government.
Right.
But the UAW itself does nothing to earn money. You earn money for them. And management funnels money to them by the bushel full. They don't have to worry about money. They got an endless supply of money.
And as for me and Scott has said, you guys got to remember one thing. To get that money, there's one union and one management. If I remember right, there's been very few people on management side take a pickle here. I can remember Icabelli, but that's about it.
Right. Well, this is all this stuff that's going on. You know, I mean, it all comes back to the sweetheart deals that was being made with the corporations and the union representatives on our contracts to show how our contracts was influenced. All these people are in prison or going to prison or have been in prison and have been released to home confinement in Norwood Jewell's case. It's just, it's sickening. You know, people get concerned.
It pisses me off to know they can send you, my brothers and sisters, into the plant where there's COVID-19, but these pricks can't even sit in prison. So they get to come home, sit at home,
right,
with their tether. They're convicted felons, be treated as animals.
Well, I see people pouring into the streets over what they call social injustice. We can't get the people who belong in the UAW, who've been taken advantage of, who are not only being socially injusticed, they are being financially injusticed. I mean, there's so much injustice at so many different levels. That could be an hour show all in itself. And how come we can't get people to get concerned about that? Because
I think they're very concerned. They just don't believe they can do anything about it. You know,
right. Well,
how were our contracts sold to us over the last few years? You know, well, this is the best we can do. If we don't do this, we won't have work
right
in the plant. You know, I'm thinking, well, what good are you?
Right.
You know, if all you can say is we got to do whatever management wants, what good are you?
Well, here's one for you. Remember, this was two contracts ago. Remember, we didn't leave nothing on the table. Well, of course you didn't. That's what the rest of it in your pocket.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't leave nothing on the table. Yeah.
Well, they never put any demands on the company.
True. True.
The company puts all the demands on them, and they just say, yeah, boss, how can we help you? And then management says, well, here's how you can help us. We'll give you some appointed jobs, and you can help us work on this issue.
I think there's a lot of people, too, that still want to believe that the UAW International has your best interest in mind. I'm not kidding you. I still think there are people out there that have that mentality. The union, and then, here we got this pandemic. Well, what about our health and safety, the union? Well, if they're not helping you with this, and that's something they're supposed to be doing along with your negotiations, where's your light bulb? Where is your light bulb?
Well, they're still at home. That's what I'm saying. They're at home. They're going to collect all their goodies. They don't give a rat's ass. They don't care about us. But two contracts ago, if I remember correctly, when they came to the table, management had over twice as many demands as the UAW did. That should never happen.
The UAW goes to the bargaining table begging. They don't go to the table fighting anymore. The crap they let management pull, closing Pontiac truck and bus and moving that production to Mexico is just ridiculous.
Well, what's that
right
thing I seen Rory Gamble talking about with the voting and yada, yada, telling people, well, vote, and then at one point he had endorsed Biden, and then now he's telling people to get out there and vote. And I'm thinking in my mind, we can't vote for you. You hypocrite?
No.
You're a hypocrite.
Yep.
That's so hypocritical.
There was a thing called NAFTA. Look who was sitting at the head of the table when that shit was signed. I believe that prick's name was Joe Biden. And they had this other lady on board that was going to get us national health care if we signed NAFTA. That was Hillary Clinton.
That was a poor move on their part, on the Democrats' part. I will not say it wasn't. But there's a lot of money behind that.
My old man told me something a long time ago. He goes, politics was good, but remember, you got to find one that's dirty for you, and it ain't going to be a Republican, it ain't going to be a Democrat. You got to find the one that's dirty for you, Jimmy, and they're all dirty.
Right.
Mm-hmm. As long as you can keep that in mind and weed out the rest, you're good. Just be your own deductor. Read through those lines.
Right. You got to find, like you said, you got to find that one. The old man used to say, running for office, whether it's in public or union office, there's two types of people who run. There's one that runs for the power and the prestige, of that position. And then there's the other person that runs for the honor and the privilege to serve. It seems lately we don't have a lot of people who run for the honor and the privilege to serve.
You're right. So, boy, did he have that right. Our biggest problem right now, and he told me this 10 years ago, and I really didn't know what he meant. He goes, people just don't read no more. And I agree. They don't read the highlights. They don't read the contract. And then he told me, what was it, 7 years ago, Scott? He started telling us about learned helplessness.
Yep.
That's true.
Yeah. Right.
And like put on glasses and look down to Detroit, I can see down at a place called Solidarity House where it looks pretty evident to all of us who have a little bit of an inkling of what's going on here that we can probably say that those individuals down there that are supposed to represent us aren't
aren't running for the honor and the privilege to serve their members.
They
wanted a title.
What I'd like everybody to do is get out your law book and read the definition of RICO. And if we ain't living RICO in our UAW right now, I flip and quit.
We have 4 minutes left in tonight's show. 4 minutes. Just letting you guys know.
Oh, good night, ladies and gentlemen.
Good night, Paul. I donate you the last 3 minutes to back out.
Good night, everyone.
What did I do? What did I do?
I
canceled if you want to go longer. I did cancel.
Well, now Paul's leaving and everybody else saying good night.
Well, I can stay on.
There you go. What about you, Jimmy?
What do you want to do, buddy? I think we've covered everything. I don't want to beat a dead horse and drag it on. Don, you tell me. Are we going backwards and recovering stuff we've already talked? I've been trying to get a hold of Brian. I'd like to get Brian back on, but I couldn't do it tonight. I would like to know about, I believe that's the Toledo Jeep plant me and Scott were talking about earlier. I would like to know, are they still under the standalone?
Let's wrap it up. Excuse me. Let's wrap it up at 8:30, and then see if you can get a hold of Brian. And if you can't, let me know, and then I'll try to get a hold of him.
Right on. Is that good with you, Don?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Ruby.
That'll work.
I'll second that motion. All in favor, say goodbye.
Well, we got about 3 minutes, still about 2 minutes left. So.
Thanks for everybody's insight.
Oh, thank you for your insight.
I think they see my broken AC has got me irritated.
Oh. There you go.
Oh, it's okay. It'll be okay. It's okay.
They going to be out to look at it tomorrow?
I had a guy come and look at it, the condensers. I had a power outage, and I think I had a surge that went through there because he said the wires are burnt.
Wow.
But I think I'm going to get a couple people, not just them, to take a look at it and go from there. You know, it's just what the joys of being a homeowner.
Yeah.
Hey, at least I got food and water. I'm good.
My air conditioner went out the last heat wave we had. I went and bought one of those portable ones in the house. And
did it work?
Yeah. Man,
how does it work? Does it work well?
Yeah, it worked very well. First night, I couldn't sleep at all because it was so damn hot. So I went and bought this thing, and we put it up, you know, in our bedroom. Man, oh man, it was that night. It was really nice.
I might have to
go look for one. There you go.
Yes, sorry, Bob. I might just have
portable,
to do that.
Portable. Get that baby running so you can sleep well tonight.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
If I remember right, I think somebody else told me about it. I think he said they bought one. It was like less than $200.
Yeah, who the hell was it? Was that JJ? Somebody here said they bought a portable that stuck in a window, and it was unbelievable.
I bought one.
Oh, this is.
I think it cost $375, I think. I think.
Okay.
But if she's got somebody out there saying she had a power surge, the best thing to do is don't get a second opinion there. Call your power server. I don't know if you're under Detroit Edison or who, consumers or what, but they can come
DC.
Out and they can come out and look at that and tell you if there was a surge. And at that given point, then they got a penny up. Because I had that one time they said it wasn't. Then he looked and he goes, oh, you had 128. So they put a recorder on the side of my house up north. And, yeah, it was fluctuating up and down and taking out my appliances. I had built a new house and had everything new appliances. And within 3 months, over two-thirds of appliances burned out, you know?
Wow.
That's that the reason you say that because my on my electrical box where the air conditioner is, it was on, like it kicked off. So there was some kind of surge that went through there.
Wow,
either that or an improper ground.
That
box could not get that box did not get hot unless it's frozen.
Well.
Anyway,
well,
I'll see all you guys next Sunday. Thank you for everybody.
Yeah, thanks everybody. There you go. Stay safe this week.
You do likewise.
Everybody have a great week. Be safe, and we'll see you next Sunday night at 7 p.m.
Good night.
Night, everybody.
Good
night, everybody.